Blog Talk Radio.
And our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath, everyone. We greet you no matter where you are at, whether you're in Pal Talk or on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, the continent of Africa or the Middle East or the Far East or the continent, the European theater. We greet all of our listeners on this day. And we welcome you. We are still in the discipleship series, and we are doing the kingdom, and the kingdom is not meat or drink, part two. And I told you yesterday that I would find some other scriptures that I needed to include, and then I needed to set this in the proper context so that we would have understanding and know what it is that Messiah is looking for, what the Most High, has always been looking for. And when we read the scriptures, Most High wants people to enter into his kingdom, and he wants us to be faithful to the saints. And he wants us to do those things that bring people into the kingdom and not run them away. He doesn't want us to offend. But I want to cover this from the standpoint of the believers now. Last night I covered it from the standpoint of the unbeliever. Okay? Somebody that you are trying to win into the kingdom and that may not be, may not know the word of the Most High. Or they could even be a person who has heard the word, but, have not decided to serve the Most High. And on this morning, I want to do this from the standpoint of, this is a person that has heard the word. They have been taught, not necessarily correctly, because this is, the Most High showed me this morning, and this was just this morning, that I have to read a verse to explain it, because this verse is, kind of all telling to the unknown Elohim that the Greeks were worshiping. But it's like people don't really know Messiah today, even in the church. They don't know who he is. It's on my heart, to teach this from this perspective, that they are worshiping him, but in ignorance. Not in spirit and in truth, but in ignorance. Okay, so I'm going to show this by the scriptures, because we as his disciples, we have to be able to discern. We have to be able to tell, what is the problem in the body. Where are we hurting at, and why are we hurting? Where are we falling short at, and why are we falling short? And, I have to let the Most High speak. So a lot of times, a lot of these precepts that I'm doing, they're not studied out. The Most High gives me the scriptures, and then I put them together as he has given them to me. And sometimes they don't come in, in the order. I start in one area, and then he just, brings it to me. So on this morning, we want to do this from the standpoint of the believer. They have heard of Messiah. They call themselves worshiping him, but they are worshiping him in ignorance. Okay? And if that offends, I'm going to apologize right now, but not for giving you the truth. Okay? But for bringing it in such a way that it is not meant to offend. It's meant to allow us to see where we are falling short, in our walk with Messiah. We say we believe in him. We say he is our quote-unquote Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Master. But he's looking for something. And we got to understand the same thing that he was looking for in the Old Testament, he's looking for it in the New. It did not change. And when we are not cognizant or don't understand what he was looking for in the Old and what he wanted, we really cannot understand what he's looking for in the New. We think that it is something new, something different, but it's not. And we're going to come from this from the standpoint of uncleanliness. Because, I think people understand that they're not supposed to fornicate, they're not supposed to commit adultery, they're not supposed to be covetous. These are the things that the church and the believers seem to kind of understand, even though they feel like they can do those things and then, ask for forgiveness, and he is true and just to forgive them. But, it is a corruption of the scriptures. So we're going to sort of walk through this morning, but I want it to be from this mindset. We're talking about believers, not unbelievers today, because I was talking about last night, if you deal with an unbeliever and they're, you know, somebody at work and they might believe in something else, and, you know, what it was lawful for you to do and what is not lawful for you to do, okay, and the circumstances behind it that are covered in the scriptures, okay. But once a person has heard and they have accepted the gospel, they have accepted Messiah as their Savior, then there's a certain learning process that they must go through, that they must understand. And this was what the job that was given to Israel. This is what Israel got fired from. And this is what the Most High is waking Israel back up again to do. And Israel has to get this right. We have to get this right so that we can reteach the church, which is worshiping our Elohim in ignorance. It's in ignorance. So let us get to it. Let's do our statement of faith. Let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture, well, before we start that, let's do this. I'm going to start this way this morning. Cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads wherever you may be at. Let us turn toward the east, toward the rising of the sun. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah Elohim a hand cup of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We just glorify you and magnify you and lift you up. We bow down to worship you, Father, on this morning and to hear your word and to be at your feet, Father. Come and teach your people. Hallelujah. Give us a word that is from your mouth, Father, that the people might hear and obey. And we just want to give you glory and honor and thank you, O Father, on this morning. And we worship you. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify you and we lift you up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and if you have walked, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge on this morning that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us and that we have done wickedly. But, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins, and we're turning back towards you, Father. And we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back to your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel, or we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Mashiach, that they would awake, come and obey your voice, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. And our scripture reading on this morning, I'm going to change this for this morning. I was going to do this at the end of this precept, but I want to do it at the beginning. Let us go to 2 Peter chapter 3. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read this entire chapter on this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. Most I put this in my spirit that it needs to be heard. So we're going to do it first. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both what I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandments of the apostles of Yah and our Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Elohim the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yah as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in that the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Yah, or the day of Elohim, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Yah, our Master, is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable wrecks, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Master and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so that day is coming, and the Most High is going to blow away this atmosphere. It's going to be on fire, and it's going to be so hot that even the mountains and all the elements, metal, will melt. We have to hear what he's saying. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He says that day is coming. I created the old, and I destroyed the old with water, and I'm going to destroy this current version. And you just don't know what the exact date is. But when I choose to come, there's not going to be a day like it. Believe that, because his return is not far off. Men say today that things are going the same as they were from the first day of creation. Ain't nothing changed. Let us not become slack. Let us not, be of that mindset. But let us look forward to his return with fear and trembling. Now for this precept this morning, The Most High has me teaching this from the standpoint of the believer. The kingdom is not meat and drink. From the believer's standpoint. And so we want to start this off. We started off in Corinthians on the other day. Let's start in Corinthians again. And let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I would admonish you to write these scriptures down. You can always go back and listen and get them, but write them down because this is a certain viewpoint that the Most High has allowed that, you know, the church really needs to hear. And all those who grew up in the church really need to hear and understand. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of Elohim. Now, when we were ignorant and we didn't know Messiah, when we were unlearned and had not heard of him, there's a certain protocol that the Most High wants us to deal with people who are in ignorance, who have not heard. They're unbelieving. They may buy, now, if they're unbelieving because they choose not to believe, that's one thing. If they're unbelieving because they just have not heard to believe, that's a whole other thing. But this being unclean, we're going to deal with that today. Okay. Let us go to the book of Acts, because this is where the Most High says the vast majority of the church is today. They have this Bible, and this, you know, and they are reading from it. But the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 23. Now, Paul is in Greece at this time, and he is, you know, going around spreading the gospel. But he runs into this place that has, you know, they have this pantheon of all these gods that they worship. And then they have a place, just in case they forgot somebody, to the unknown God, the unknown Elohim. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. For as I passed by, and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, or to the unknown Elohim, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. The church today is ignorantly worshiping the Most High Elohim, teaching the traditions of men rather than the commandments of the Most High. Teaching that they don't have to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Teaching that don't even teach what is the true scripture, the true gospel. Thinking that he's looking for a bride that has a dirty dress on. It's like she's in her wedding dress and she's fallen down into the swine's pit, waddled around, and showing up at the altar. The Most High is not having it. And then he's saying that they're doing it for the most part out of ignorance. And they need to hear so that they can come out of this ignorance. Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to get verse 3. Because this is what we were on last night for the unbeliever, and whether we, you know, if we eat something unclean, does it make us unclean? And he says, for the sake of the kingdom and for not offending someone, the kingdom of Elohim is not meat and drink. I can forgive you of that. I can sanctify. So I'm going to show you these verses, and I'm going to show you the evolution, the history of it. But we want to go over some things first, and we're going to establish some foundations, because the Most High does not change. There is nothing new up under the sun, not even this gospel. Ephesians chapter 5, Verse 3, we're only going to get one verse because we want to deal with all uncleanliness. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be named, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. All uncleanliness, don't let it be named once. This is to the church. This is to his body. Yet, how is it that men are teaching that they're not even teaching to not be unclean? They think it's, you know, all of this, what I'm going to call right now, I hate this word, but I'm going to use it, spookery. It's being, you know, they don't even practice really expelling unclean spirits. They want to say, oh, they got a mental problem. Some people do have a mental problem. A lot of people are possessed by unclean spirits. But they don't want to deal with this matter from the standpoint of what the Most High has said is unclean. And we're not going to be able to deal with all uncleanliness. Not every situation. But I'm going to give you the overview so that we have an understanding that this uncleanliness is one of the blind spots of the church and of the body. Let's drop down to verse 25. Because this is what Messiah is looking for. And actually, I want to get... I don't want to go drop down to verse 25 yet. Let's get Exodus chapter 19. And hold on a minute. Let me get this, because we're going to do this first. We're going to go from old to new. We're going to go back and forth on this morning, because I want to show that there is no change. What the Most High is looking for is no change, okay? One second. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. Okay. And I have it in here. I just put it in the wrong place from where I wanted it. So let me just do this. We read this, but I want us to understand that there's not been a change, okay? So Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. This is what the Most High is looking for. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This process was supposed to start with the children of Israel. But in Messiah, in his body, it's the same thing. He's looking for a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now let's drop down to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Because this is the way he states it in the New Testament. And he's talking from the position of Israel. Israel was a wife to him. Okay? Israel, his priesthood, was a wife to him. That's the kind of relationship that it was. So this holy nation, this kingdom of priests, the Most High's relationship to them is that he was married to them. And if you just look up husbandry or husband in the scriptures, you'll find that he was married to Israel. And I didn't get that verse for this, but understand that that's the way it was. So when it comes to the New Testament and the church, he's still looking at it like a relationship of a husband and wife in relationship, okay? But it's more than just the church that he's married to. So he says it like this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What is he cleansing it from? Uncleanliness. All uncleanliness. He doesn't want uncleanliness in his church. He doesn't want uncleanliness in his bride. With the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is what he wanted in the past. He told Israel, these are my cleanliness laws, and we're going to be dealing with it from that standpoint. Okay. I want a holy nation. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. These are the rules. This is the protocol for my priesthood. And you are as like a bride to me. And I want you to be without spot. These are the things that give you, that put spots on you. These are the things that put blemishes on you. And all of a sudden we get into the New Testament and we want to take the after action of what Messiah did, cleaned up his church and gave it a way to become clean and to stay clean. And we want to keep going back and waddling in that vomit. We want to go back and keep rolling around in the dirt and then want to show up in the altar in our wedding dress with spot and with wrinkle and blemished and say that, oh yes, we're your bride. So this, they are serving him in ignorance. Because it's not what he's looking for and never has been looking for. He's looking for the opposite. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 to start this thing off. So this is what he was looking for in the old. This is what he's looking for in the new. Nothing has changed. He just wiped out your sin, your blemishes, and your spots. Your uncleanliness when you came to him. We don't turn back around and go back and get dirty again. Genesis chapter 1, and we're talking about this because we were talking about the dietary. So I'm going to do this from the dietary. But I did a precept on the holy and the unholy. And I think I need to redo it again here soon to bring it back to our remembrance so that we have an understanding that when he says, be ye holy for I am holy, just exactly what that means. And it's covering a lot of what's in here. But this is what he wants, and he don't want anything less. He wants a bride without spot. He wants to present it to himself. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And when we believe that, oh, he'll accept any such thing, then we deceive ourselves. When we do it in ignorance, he will forgive us. But when we do it willfully, we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, and we expect that he will forgive us, then are we sadly mistaken? Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Now, we're talking about food, and we're talking about uncleanliness, and I'm going to show you, you know, we've done through the holy and the unholy, that being unclean in the eyes of the Most High is sin. It is sin itself. It's transgression. So you need to understand that from the beginning, being unclean. That's why he says no unclean person shall enter into his kingdom. He's looking for a bride not having spot or wrinkle. I want to drive this point home this morning, and this is for the believers. This is what he gave Adam and Eve for food. And we're going to do this from the standpoint of food, and then we're going to look at it. You know, I'm going to use a couple other scriptures, but only to make a point. But this is from the standpoint of food, okay? Because we might believe that all things are lawful to eat. All things are lawful to eat to the world. Let me say that again. All things are lawful to eat to the world, to the unbeliever, to the unrepentant. Okay? So let's look from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So in the beginning, all of the herbs-bearing seed were for us for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So we got to understand that from the very beginning with Adam and Eve and all the living creatures, the first that what they ate, they didn't eat each other. That was the protocol. Y'all eat from those trees and you eat from the herbs from the ground. And all of them are good for you. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 9. This is post flood. The Most High has destroyed the world. He has hidden the garden or taken it off the earth, but man doesn't have access to it. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. And every moving thing that liveth, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, shall be meat, shall be food for you. So post-flood, the Most High says, everything that moves on the earth shall be meat for you. Clean or unclean, everything is everything, clean and unclean. Because they are only unclean in reference to him. And we're going to, you know, we got to understand that. For us, he said, for you, man, I've given you every moving thing that lives. It shall be meat for you. Even as I gave you the green herb, have I given you all things. So understand there's a change here. And even the animals start hunting, and just like it was for the man, just like he gave all the green herbs of the field to the beast start hunting meat and each other too. No longer did everything just eat the green herbs. Not the men, nor the beast, nor the creeping things. So we have a change here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go from the old to the new. Because see, everything here was good for food. For the world. Everything was good for food. All meat. Everything that moves. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to get verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which Elohim has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of Elohim is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of Elohim and prayer. Now, again, this is to the world. It's not to his priesthood. It's not to his priesthood. This is going back to Genesis chapter 9, and he's addressing it to the world. But his priesthood is another matter. His bride is another matter. And we want to think that, you know, we are no longer under that. If we pray over it. He says, if you pray over it for kingdom's sake, if you pray over it, not to offend somebody that you're bringing in, a non-believer. But he didn't change his, he didn't come and clean you up from sin and uncleanliness, because we're dealing with uncleanliness. He didn't come and clean you up for you to go back and get dirty. And it's not just sin in general, because there's all types of sin. Fornication, covetousness, adultery, not honoring your parents, not honoring the Most High. Sin. But then there's some laws concerning uncleanliness that is sin. So the things I just mentioned, the church will be like, oh yeah, you're not supposed to do those things. But when it comes to uncleanliness, they seem to be woefully blind to it. And they want to lump those things that I just mentioned, not worshiping the Most High, not honoring your father and your mother, fornication and adultery, coveting. They want to list those as unclean things. They are sin. But there's some things that are specifically mentioned that are unclean. Just can't come around the Most High any kind of way, in any condition. You got to understand who it is that you are presenting yourself to. And you can't be in his presence in any kind of way. That's what this uncleanliness has to do with. That's what it's dealing with. He wants a bride that is clean, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle or any such thing. How is it that we don't have the mindset to go and find out, well, what is he really talking about here? Why are we assuming that it's only these few little things, when he has clearly defined it in the scriptures? Want to be around me? This is what I expect. So let's talk about the church. Let's talk about his body. Let's talk about the body of believers and what they're supposed to know that they don't seem to know. Let's go to Leviticus. We've already seen that what he was looking for in the Old Testament, he's looking for in the New. I'm looking for a kingdom of priests. He says that you shall be kings and priests. Nothing has changed, not a single thing. I needed to clean you up. I need to provide a way to clean you up, that you would be without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. Now let's go look and see what he means by those things. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 44. And we're going to get verses, I'm sorry, in Leviticus chapter 11, not 44. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 through 47. Leviticus chapter 44. Wow, I did it again. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 through 47. For I am Yah your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's not an option. That's not a suggestion. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am Yah that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast. And I didn't go over the law of the beast. We can do that another time in detail. What is the law of the beast that are clean and unclean? What is the law of the fowl that are clean and unclean? What is the law of the creeping things that are clean and unclean? This is the law of the beast and of the fowls and of every living creature that moves in the waters and on every creature that creeps upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, whether the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. You can eat something and it make you unclean. You can touch something and it make you unclean from the standpoint of the diet. Now, this uncleanliness also includes any emissions from your body. It includes when a woman is on her cycle, when she's had a child and she's bleeding. If you got leprosy, some type of illness, okay, makes you unclean, especially if it has an oozing sore to it. These are the things that are unclean, that make you unclean. We're just dealing with the food on this one because that's what we were talking about, okay? So the Most High said, this is, let's read this again so that we have an understanding. I'm looking for a bride without spot or blemish. I'm looking for a holy nation. I'm looking for a kingdom of priests. I wanted this from the beginning. I didn't find it in Israel. Now, all those who are the remnant and chosen out of Israel to be awakened and to come into holiness, and plus the Gentiles, that's going to be my body, and I'm going to be the head of it. But what I'm looking for is still that holy nation, that kingdom of priests, without spot or wrinkle. That's what I'm looking for. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. It's not an option. Okay? Leviticus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Again, to go along with that, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This is what they wanted from the beginning. Okay? This is what he wants in Messiah. It's not changing. Go to Leviticus chapter 12. I want to get one verse here, and I'm only bringing this so that we have to understand that when we are unclean, there are some things that are prohibited to us. We are unclean. We are in sin. Now, being unclean, and I'm going to bring this verse to us a little bit later, most uncleanliness only lasts until the evening if you do what he says to do. It's not a permanent condition in these cases, especially when it comes to the food or the animals. It's not a permanent condition. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 4. This is talking about when a woman has given birth to a child. And this is used only as an example because this has to really deal with in the spirit of the law. And this is what Messiah said. The spirit of the law. It's not. What's the intent? The intent is that you stay clean. And if you are unclean, that you don't deal with anything that is holy until you are clean. So understand when we read this, this is not a swag or a slap against the women or anything like that, because it applies to men if they've had a bodily omission. It applies to any uncleanliness, okay? So the woman has had a child. She is in her time of purification. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 3 and 30 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, no holy thing, nor come into the sanctuary. When we are in this condition, we're not supposed to touch any hallowed thing. When we are unclean, this is talking about her because it's extended. She's talking about this, in this case, 33 days or in some instances, 66 days if it's a female. She can't come into the sanctuary. She can touch no hallowed thing until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Now, as I said, most things that make us unclean on a regular basis, you have to wash and you are unclean till the evening. And we'll read that a little bit later. So I don't want you, I just want the point that I'm trying to bring to your understanding is this. When you are unclean, you should not be dealing with anything hallow or holy. You should not go into the sanctuary. Okay? Male or female. That's the spirit of what this law is talking about. He's talking specifically about the woman and her issue of blood. But he's really dealing with uncleanliness. Okay? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5, and we're going to hop around some verses here. We're going to read a little bit for time's sake, and then we're going to hop around so that we can get the main portions of this. Leviticus chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Guilty means that you're in transgression. You're in sin. Verse 5, and it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Sinned. So you're not just dirty, you're not just filthy in this portion, but you are in a state of uncleanliness and you have sinned. And you got to confess it. Confession is not a new thing to the New Testament. Confession is not a new thing to the New Testament. In Torah, you are required to confess it, that you have sinned in that thing. Verse 15. if a soul commit a trespass, and what is a trespass? A transgression of the laws of the Most High, a transgression of his statutes, laws, commandments, and his judgments. Anything that he has commanded, anything that he has said to do or not to do. If you trespass in it, meaning that you don't do it, or you don't do what you're supposed to do, or you do what you're not supposed to do, you have trespassed. And sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yah, in his holy things. We're not going to even deal with you kill somebody by accident. You were doing something that you didn't know was required. And it ain't got nothing to do with his holy things. It's all the other sin. He says, but in the holy things of Yah, then he shall bring for his trespass unto Yah a ram without blemish out of the flocks, and with thy estimation of the shackle of a silver after the shackle of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. Because he trespassed. But he did it how? Keyword there, ignorance. Not presumptuously. I know this thing is holy, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, I didn't know it was holy. We don't want to talk about, we're not worried about the sin offering, okay? Because we know Messiah is the offering for all that. What we're talking about is you have transgressed in the holy thing, even today. His way of making atonement in the past was you bring these rams. But when you find out that you have transgressed today in the holy thing, you still got to confess it and stop. When the day you learn about it, it hasn't changed. But ain't nothing holy today. Verse 16. And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add a fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him, because he did it in ignorance. Now, we've talked in these few weeks, for a long time, about ignorant sin and willful sin. This is talking about ignorant sin in the holy things of the Most High. Verse 17, and if a soul sin committing any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of Yah, though he knew it not, wist is new, to know. Though he knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. You trespass in the things that Yah has commanded. He says, and if you didn't know it, you are still guilty. And if you don't do what he said to do to come out of it, to get forgiven for it, you shall bear your iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, and with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and knew it not. And it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against Yah. In ignorance. So, Most High, I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that. I didn't know that, hey, if I'm on my cycle, I should not be coming up in the sanctuary. Ain't nobody ever told me that. If I touched this unclean animal, and it came up in your sanctuary, and was going to take part in the worship service, I wasn't supposed to be in the sanctuary. Because I was unclean. I wasn't supposed to come before you that way. I hope we can hear this. Because you have certainly trespassed. These things didn't go away. So we come into the sanctuary and we have polluted the sanctuary. We bring dead bodies up into the sanctuary, what we call the sanctuary. Have a funeral. Just polluted the sanctuary. But we're not hearing this. And this is where the church is just jacking things up. And the Most High is supposed to be in it. He's not in it. Okay? They have trespassed. And not even confessing it. Looking at that filthy lucre, looking at the money they can get for doing the funeral. This is what we charge for a funeral. Yeah, you can bring the casket on up in here and defile the sanctuary. When we ourselves are not even supposed to enter into the sanctuary, if we have touched anything unclean, if we have not cleansed ourselves and waited the allotted time, it's the believers. Those that know Messiah. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 1. We'll get one verse. Because this is the verse that the church uses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He come to cleanse us from what? Our sins, our spots, from our uncleanliness. Because being unclean is sin. I pray we can hear this. But that was for ignorant sin. That was for ignorant trespass. He says, if you're ignorant of it, you have still trespassed. You have still broken my laws. And your iniquity shall remain upon you. Unless you do what I said to do to get it off of you. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul talking. Might even be Timothy talking. I have to look and see who the author is here. But whoever the author is, they're talking. I believe it's Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Because, again, and I need to add this one to the one that I do on sin. Because the church is teaching something that right here, this verse clearly tells you that how you have to be, what condition you have to be forgiven. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, talking about himself, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Why? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I did it ignorantly. Thought I was doing the right thing. Ignorantly, he could be forgiven. It's not changed. That's why the Most High said in we were reading in Leviticus that they did it in ignorance. They could be forgiven. The same, nothing has changed. Most High ain't dealing with your willful sin. Numbers chapter 15. We just read, Paul just said, hey. And I believe that's Paul. Could be Timothy, but I have to go back and get the author, so don't take that part as the gospel. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, not willfully. Numbers 15, verse 30. But the soul that does aught presumptuously, willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Cut off. What does that mean? Let's go to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, with hatred, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. That's to be cut off. From the land of the living and from your people. Die. Not kicked out of the country. The Most High said, I'm not passing this sin on to somebody else. I'm going to cut you off. That means you're going to be cut out of the land of the living. You're going to die. That's what that meant. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. This is to the church. This is to his body. I'm looking for a bride to present to myself, spotless, clean, without blemish. In Torah, if you sinned ignorantly, you had to confess it. Nothing's changed in the New Testament. If you sinned ignorantly, the day you learn of it, you got to confess it. But anything you did presumptuously, presumptuously, you can just change that word to willfully. Then you were to be killed for it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. And we'll keep it moving because we've taught this enough. For if we sin willfully, if we transgress willfully, if we trespass willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This has to do with uncleanliness. Because it's a sin. The Most High said to his people, you want to be around me? This is my standard. Then we come into the New Testament in his church and all of a sudden, there's no standard. But he tells you all uncleanliness. He tells you no unclean person. And this even has to do to the way we eat. I'm looking for holy people without blemish. And I'm not accepting anything less. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. And I'm not going to dwell on this. Just want us to make sure that we understand. Just as he was looking for a holy people in Torah, without spot or blemish. He's looking for a holy people in the New Testament without spot or blemish. And he says, and in Torah, if they ignorantly sin, they could be atoned for. If they were unclean, they do those things that make them clean. And then they could come and they could take part in. Okay? For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Can't get no blood for that. Only blood there is Messiah's. He says, there ain't no blood for that. There's no sacrifice. I'm not doing it again. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You willfully sin, you are now an adversary. You're an enemy. Because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Messiah said it in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do it because you love me. Israel didn't never really love me. They didn't never really had a faith to. Now, we come to his body, his church. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But I don't have to keep the commandments. I'm not up under the law. How twisted is that? Rest assured, no unclean person is going to enter into my kingdom. Don't even deal with uncleanliness. Oh, we ain't got to worry about that. We are not up under that. If you're not up under it, then there would be no need to say no unclean person. There would be no need to say that. Oh, it's only dealing with this stuff. No, you need to go back and find out how did the Most High define cleanliness and uncleanliness? How did he define it? Okay, let's continue. Verse 28. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy. Under two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy? Shall the person be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim and has accounted the blood of the covenant? This is a blood covenant. That's why we've been on this blood covenant. Wherewith he was sanctified. An unholy thing. Be thou holy, for I am holy. But you're treating what Messiah did as something unholy, unclean. And has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I did this for you, and I gave you grace to come back to me, to clean yourself up, to wash your garment clean, to present yourself to me spotless. And you doing everything you can to stay dirty. Even to the point of not even teaching what qualifies as being clean and unclean. What standards will I accept and I not accept? Teaching that I'm looking for a bride without spot and without wrinkle or any such thing. Pristine. I want the wedding garment. I want her bride dress. I want her everyday clothes to be spotless. No dirt on them. Not wrinkled, ironed out. And no other such thing that would make it corrupt. And because we don't want to come out of our filth, we don't want to come out of our ways, we don't want to do how he says to do things, we want to do it our own way because it's pleasurable to us, He says, okay, if you do it in an ignorant, if you're doing it in ignorance, the day you learn about it, confess it. And I'm true and just to forgive you, just like I did in Torah. I'm true and just to forgive you. You eat something unclean, I told you to pray over it and sanctify it if it's for this reason. I didn't tell you to pray over it and sanctify it to be able to eat it because you just want to eat it. Oh yeah, I love those pork ribs. The Most High says everything in and of itself is clean. But if you want to be around me, these things are unclean to you. They're unclean to you. Why take the chance? You know, you might feel that you have liberty. Well, I know I stink, but I'll stink over in the corner. Most I said, no. No unclean thing is getting into my kingdom. I told the nation of Israel how to behave. They were supposed to teach you. These things make you unclean. These animals make you unclean. If you touch them, they make you unclean. That uncleanliness lasted for till the evening. But you had to wash. You had to do what it took to become clean again. But while you're in that unclean state, you can't take part in any of the holy things. And when we don't mind cleanliness, then we'll be unclean and we'll go into the sanctuary. We'll go around the Most High and we will act like there's nothing wrong. Go to Leviticus, chapter 22. Leviticus, chapter 22. And we're dealing with the meats. We're dealing with the food, okay? I told you I used a couple of scriptures to make a point, but we're really dealing with uncleanliness from the standpoint of the food, because he said, hey, these things are clean to you, these things are not, if you want to be my people. Now all of a sudden we get with Messiah and he says, hey, I don't care what you eat. It's not what he's saying. I'm presenting myself a church that is without spot, that is clean. Leviticus chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. Leviticus chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. The soul which has touched any such shall be unclean until the evening, and shall not eat of the holy things, unless he washes flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterwards eat of the holy things, because it is his food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Elohim. It is your food. When you are unclean, you are not allowed to partake in the holy things until you get yourself right. Till you do what he said to do. For the length of time that he said to do it. We don't have to bring the animals today. Messiah died for our sin. We don't go and kill an animal every time we sin. But you could never kill an animal for willful sin. And Messiah says, I ain't dying that my blood don't cover your willful sin. Your willful sin, it don't cover it. So if you're doing something unclean and you're ignorant of it, the day that you learn of it, confess it. You don't have to go kill an animal. Confess. Most I didn't know that I was doing something unclean. I didn't know that I was putting a spot back on my dress or my garment. I will confess it. I will stop. I won't do that anymore. I want to be around you. And those animals that you said were unclean, they are unclean to me. I won't touch them. Because you said even to touch them made me unclean. Not much less eating them. But if I find myself in an unclean state, I will confess it. And then I will go wash myself. And I will be unclean until the evening. And then I'll partake of the holy things. So let's talk about meat. Because we saw when we were reading Genesis chapter 9 that the Most High made all things. He made it where it was lawful for them to eat anything that moved. If it moved, you could eat it. If you could stomach it. Then we come to 1 Timothy and he tells you there's nothing unclean in and of itself. And that's the truth. Except for if you want to belong to him. You want to be his disciple. You want to be his bride. Everybody's not going to be that. Or else who are you going to be ruling over? So let's look at these meats real quick. We got about 30 minutes. Meat was restricted by the dietary laws. What meat you could eat and what meat you couldn't. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof, completely divided, and that chews the cud or chews grass or straw. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3. Like I said, we're going to sort of hit these. We'll do a completely different lesson on all of the dietary laws. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3. Whatsoever parts the hoof, splits the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Okay? The rest of Leviticus chapter 11 goes on to describe the rest of those animals. So the rabbit, the coney, the pig, they were unclean. And he gave you the reason why they were unclean to us. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. Verses 4 through 8. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 4 through 8. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he chews the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the coney, because he chews the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the hare, because he chews the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divides the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he chews not the cud. He'll eat anything. He is unclean to you. or their flesh shall you not eat. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. So you couldn't eat them, and you weren't supposed to touch them. Okay? So that leaves things that you can eat. Sheep, goat, ox, steer, wild game, gazelle, deer, roebuck, wild goat, wild ox. You could eat those things. You could eat more than you could not eat. But the restrictions, people want to, they want to dwell on the restrictions. Now, typically in the scripture, you know, they didn't, I don't think that they fried their meat in the scripture. Not saying don't fry it, but we know we get all kind of diseases today from fried food, the saturated fats. But meat was usually boiled. Or it was roasted, because the Passover lamb had to be roasted. It couldn't be boiled. Or it was cooked in a stew. Now, there's a scripture that says, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. That's like a baby calf or a goat. Taking, you know, the mother's milk and boiling it, that was a practice that was done by a certain people called the Ugarit. It was an ancient city in Syria. And it was shown that they had a custom of boiling a kid in its mother milk. And it was supposed to bring them luck. And that's probably where that restriction came from. But then the tradition of men said, hey, you don't even eat dairy products with meat, like put cheese on your cheeseburger. That's not what the Most High said. Because even when we look at Abraham, and the Most High said Abraham obeyed his laws. Abraham cooked a meal for the Most High and the angels that came with him. He cooked a lamb. He gave them milk and butter. Butter is made out of milk. And he gave them milk to drink. So he wouldn't allow Abraham to do that, to even give it to him if it was unlawful. So men added to it. The truth of the matter is, don't boil the kid in its mother's milk. Stay away from that. Most of us don't even raise wild animals or don't even raise livestock. You even worry about that. Fowls, the birds. Let's go to Leviticus. We're in 11. Let's start in verse 13. Actually, we can go ahead and do the fish because it's right next. So let's just do the fish. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales. Just about everything that swims in the ocean. I said just about, not everything. But that we are supposed to be eating has fins and scales. In the rivers, in the lakes, them shall you eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, and it moves in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you, filth to you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh. But you shall have their carcasses in abomination. If you do it, it's filth to you. Makes you unclean. So that would be like eels, catfish, shark, whale, those types of animals. You're in the waters. You're in the rivers. You're in the seas. Octopus, clams, you know, all crustaceans would be like creeping things. They are unclean. Don't have skin, don't have scales, and don't have fins. You want to be the people that are most high. You want to be spot, without spot, or blemish. He says these things are unclean. They make you unclean. They are, and it's considered to be sin. Now let's talk about the fowls of the air. Verse 13. And these are they which shall have shall be among abomination. These are they which shall have, which you shall have in abomination amongst the fowls, which you shall have in filth. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. They are filthy. The eagle and the ostrich and the osprey, the vulture and the kite after his kind, even the raven after his kind, and the owl and the nighthawk and the cock owl and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the swan and the pelican and the gear eagle and the stork and the heron and her kind, and the lapwing and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all fours. Bats, you know, when they're on the ground, they walk around. They got a special tip at their wing that they used to walk around with. Okay, they walk around on all fours. Shall be an abomination to you. Yet these may you eat of every flying, creeping thing that goes upon all fours, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Yet these may you eat of every flying, creeping thing that goes upon all fours, which have legs above their feet, to leap with all upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. So he said, hey, of these insects, this is what you can eat. Of these birds, this is what you can eat. Of these fish, this is what you can eat. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. So you don't want to practice eating these things. But when you go to one of another nation, you go to an unbeliever, you don't know what they may be eating. You don't know what they may have cooked. And it's what that scripture that we were reading yesterday is getting at. You don't know what they may have cooked. But you decided to go to their house. And they may have cooked some of these things. He says, pray over it and bless it. Don't even ask what it is. But if you hear them dedicated to an idol, then you have to refuse it. So a non-believer shouldn't be doing these things. Sorry. A believer shouldn't be doing those things. A believer should know better. The unbeliever, of course they're going to be eating whatever, because it's lawful for them. There is nothing unclean in and of itself. But as a priest of the Most High, as a saint of the Most High, he said, these things are unclean to you. You want to be mine? These are unclean to you. Every Gentile that becomes part of Messiah doesn't have to leave their land. They don't have to become part of Israel. They don't have to become part of the priesthood. But you want to be a disciple? You want to be part of the priesthood? It's unclean to you. Unclean. Okay? Then it's sin. And the Most High says you can't be around him in an unclean state. We are going to Deuteronomy chapter 14, the starting verse 1. You are the children of Yah, your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto Yah, thy Elohim. This is the reason why you do all this, because you are a holy people. Be thou holy, for I am holy. You think Messiah is not holy? You think all of a sudden because he came in the flesh, he didn't sin. He didn't transgress. He is holy. But no, his bride don't have to be holy. His people don't have to be holy. No, he said, yeah, you're supposed to learn. And that which you did in ignorance, confess it. You're guilty. You're in transgression. You have transgressed, even if you didn't know it. You are still in transgression. If you confess it, I'll forgive you. When the day you learn about it, I will forgive you. Okay? For thou art a holy people unto Yah thy Elohim. And Yah has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself and above all the nations that are upon the earth. Everybody's going to be a part of his body is going to be above all the nations. But within that society, within Messiah's body and within that society, all those nations that held Israel as slaves become the slaves of Israel within that same society. They still got to be holy. They still got to be sanctified to be a part of Messiah. But their role will be, okay, you became puffed up. You took my people as slaves. Now that's your position. Somehow they don't teach that either. And all the Gentiles and the heathens that are called by my name shall be your servants, your bondsmen and your bondswomen. Somehow the church don't see that. They don't read that. So we got to understand, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Verse 3, thou shalt not eat any abominable, any filthy thing. These are the beasts which shall eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart, the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pygarg, and the wild ox, and the chamois, and every beast that parteth the hoofs and cleaves the cleft in the two claws, and chewest the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud or them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, the hare, the coney, for they chew the cud, but they divide not the hoof. Therefore are they unclean unto you. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That's the same thing Messiah is looking for. He's not going to all of a sudden say, oh, it's okay. When he says, no unclean, clean person shall enter into his kingdom. So once you have heard the truth, then you are accountable as a saint. And since the church refuses to read and obey the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High, refuse to want to apply them to themselves, he's waking up Israel again like he said he would. I gave you my ordinances, my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments. I'm giving it back to you to teach the church. Because they are in transgression. They worship me in ignorance. They don't really know me. And we have to reintroduce the Most High to the church, to the body, because you are in transgression and you are ignorantly serving him. And the swine, verse 8, because it divides the hoof, yet chews not the cud, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcasses. Not even supposed to touch them. Okay? So I'm going to leave it there for this, for the saints. I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 through 47. For I am Yah your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am Yah that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah that brings you up out of the world to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the waters and every creature that creeps upon the earth to make a difference. Between the unclean and clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten, even for his church. Hope something was said to encourage you to be clean, to be holy. In reference to his dietary laws. The Gentiles, the unbeliever, it's lawful for them to eat all that stuff. But the day that they want to come to Messiah, the day that they want to give themselves to him, then that changes. So we don't want to condemn them for what they're eating. It's unclean to us. And if they don't want to become part of his priesthood, then they don't have to. They don't want to become part of Israel. They don't have to. So you and I, as believers and as the and as disciples of Messiah. We got to serve him with our all. As believers. As part of the bride. He's looking for a bride because everybody is not wanting to be part of the bride, evidently. Because he's looking for a bride without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle or any such thing. That's what he's looking for. And he didn't change from the old to the new. When Moses came off the ark and his sons, there was no Israel. There was no priesthood. Repopulate the earth. Everything is good for food. Earth is repopulated. Now I'm going to take out of the earth a people for my inheritance. These things are unlawful for you. I told Moses they could eat it all. Now I'm telling you, you can't. So understand that. You want to be holy? You can't eat unclean and be holy. Because the beast that the Most High say are unclean, they're unclean. And that prayer to pray over them and to sanctify them is only for special circumstances. To help somebody get into the kingdom. So that you don't offend them and run them away from the Most High. So that you don't cause offense. But you're not going to practice eating filth. It's the only exception he makes. He says, then pray over it. Now, the nations read that because they don't read everything. It's all good. If I pray over it, it's all good until you want to be called messiahs. All right. With that being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah. Father, we don't want to present ourselves as unclean to you, but we want to be without spot. We want to be without wrinkle or any such thing. We want to become and be the vision, the entity that you want. Father, let us not make excuses to do that which is unclean because we want to stay in our uncleanliness. We want you, but ignorantly do we serve you. Father, take the blinders from our eyes that we might see. That we might know that you don't have to accept just any and everything. And we want to do those things that are pleasing to you. Father, you could have told our forefathers, everything is lawful for you to eat as my priesthood. Just pray over it and sanctify it. But you didn't tell us that. You told us these things are unclean to you as my priesthood. These things are unclean to you as my bride. You could have told us, pray over it and I will sanctify it, no matter what it is. You have given us that for special circumstance, but that we should not walk in filth, that we should not practice it as something common. But you so love the world, you said, if one of your children is in trouble, I'm going to allow you to get dirty. And I'll clean you back up. For kingdom's sake. Not because you just want to be filthy. Father, we thank you. Your wisdom is far above ours. And Father, we just thank you for being all wise. All we got to do is follow. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But my love does not compare to the love of the Most High. Can't love you like he loves you. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Sabbath.
What can I do? pray that I never fall away. Yahweh.